And it wasn't just for black people?
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah. So that's how you got to think. If you decide that you want to be a cab driver, then you got to be the most impactful cab driver that you can possibly be.
Are you proud of me?
Of course. You my man. I just love everything about you, period.
The thing I love about you, you never give up on me. That's one of the things I will always remember by my dad.
Well, you said it like I'm on the way out of here, or like I'm already gone.
So, Dad, what are your dreams for me?
My dream is for you to live out your dreams. It's an old proverb that talks about when children are born, children come out with their fists closed because that's where they keep all their gifts. And as you grow, your hands learn to unfold because you're learning to release your gifts to the world. And so, for the rest of your life, I want to see you live with your hands unfolded.
That was 9-year-old Aiden Sykes, who sat down with his dad, Albert, to ask him a few questions for StoryCorps, the largest oral history project in the United States. Special thanks to Dave Isay. We'll be playing some of these throughout next week. That does it for our show, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Burke, Noreen Sheikh, Carla Wells, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Sam Malkoff, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Andre Lewis, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nagara, and Paul Huckabee, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, David Prude, Ariel Boone, Vesta Gudars. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website's democracynow.org. Check it out.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford College. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello, this is the new WHFR Journal. Thank you for joining us. Today is September the 16th, 2016. My name is Jay Koronek. I'm joined in the studio by our WHFR News Director, John Conroy. Hi, John. How you doing today? Okay, we don't have much volume there, but we'll get you on.
There we go.
Okay.
Hi, Jay.
Okay, if I can hear you, then I can also hear our very special first guest today, which is President of Henry Ford College, Dr. Stan Jensen himself. So welcome, President Jensen.
Thank you, Jay. Good to be here.
Absolutely. It's always an exciting time. I mean, this is your fourth year with the college.
Yes.
As our president. Thank you very much for getting through these 4 years. There's been some real challenges, but wow, things are pretty great now. I was making a list there of all the good things about the college, the new initiatives, and it's more than we can talk about, even in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of great things happening.
So we'll hit some of the high points. I just want to mention that about the excitement thing, this is my 49th year at the college as a teacher.
Wow. Now, congratulations.
I've just been part-time adjunct instructor since 2008, but still, I always find a special excitement in the fall. The bad joke I make, or the self-deprecating joke, is another chance to get it right. But in fact, you're always starting over with new groups of students, and you want to do better, you know.
That's
you're always, of course, improving your skills and keeping up with events that impact on your curriculum. But the college is very exciting in the fall. Of course, we see a lot of new faces too. So there's a lot of new energy.
Yep.
A lot of people asking questions. So let me just get started with a few of the things that just happened to come in mind. Online learning. We do a lot of that. Certainly we have, how many students for this fall by body count?
Well, we are, this fall, we are the fourth largest community college in Michigan. We have 28 colleges, and when I got here about 3.5 years ago, we were the fifth or sixth largest, so we keep getting larger, and so we're doing very well in that regard. We serve about 21,000 students is
kind of
one way to look at it.
Wow, I'm glad we have the new parking lots from a few years ago.
So it's that's right, they're all full on especially Monday through Thursdays, and so a lot of good things happening in that area.
Mm-hmm.
we're you know, seeing online grow. We've just gotten finished with about a year and a half study that a steering committee that we put together has worked on, a lot of faculty involved, a lot of staff, a lot of administrators involved in that study. And they just reported that out to the board last month, in fact. So it's going very, very well. I'm very excited about now implementing some of those kind of things and seeing it grow even more. We want to grow. We have a lot of classes in online. But what we need to do is, and we will be doing this year, is putting together whole programs so that you can take the whole program online. Wow. So that will be a distinctive, and it will be high quality, very well done. We have great faculty, and so it'll be the students will be pleased. We're also putting together plans now to have more wraparound services. So, you know, we find that a lot of our students actually are taking online, and when they're needing help is between 10 o'clock at night and 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when we're going to match our services to those kind of timelines. And the online is a great option for any student. But we're going to find students that are working full time, have a couple of kids, that will be able to take especially good use of it.
At the front desk when you came in, our next DJ coming up at 2 o'clock on the air. She calls herself Kitty Love. That's LUV.
All right.
So LUV. So, she has been with us for maybe about a decade that she started with us, and she's one of our best blues DJs, very knowledgeable, knows a lot of the artists. My point is that she started her program years ago and then had to take time off because of the stuff happened.
Yep.
And this semester she's got two online classes because it works for her. Yes. She can do it at home.
That's right.
And it's pretty challenging, but it's not an easy way to get learning. It's different than classroom, but you still have to put the effort in.
And we will always have classrooms available, and we'll always have face to face. And so we've just completed a study of some of the colleges that are the most respected universities and colleges that have online. And one of the characteristics is that they also have a face to face campus, which of course we do. Mm-hmm. And so you want that. You don't want a college that is just completely online. What basement it's in, you know, as far as what's
if they really had to, they can come on campus and talk to somebody.
Yes, of course. And there's a lot of blended classes, so they can be part of that class is face to face, part of it is online, so that's real popular as well.
Yeah.
But the 100% online is growing. In general, the higher education in overall, universities and colleges, is actually decreased a couple percentage points every year for the last several years, but online has increased across the nation by anywhere from 7 to 10%. So
you'll probably find that the age of those online is lower than the actual students who are getting brick and mortar teachings
sometimes, a lot of students that are, our average age student is actually 26, 27 years old, the average. So a lot of those students are still going to be the ones online. Even the 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds are going to be the ones online because life is happening all around them. They're working full-time. But, of course, the 18-year-old is certainly a big part of online as well. So it really has a broad appeal.
Yes.
In the olden days, online learning, it was referred to, actually taught at other colleges as instructional technology, which was specifically, in those days, it was in reference to learning in ways other than directly in the classroom. Yep. However, today, of course, instructional technology can be anything, a computer anywhere or a device in the classroom. I always thought because of that, I for instructional technology, that the one building, which is beautiful, but we have on campus, but you can fill us in here on this, but that doesn't seem to have anything in it right now, is building I, our daycare center. So I thought, we put instructional technology in building. No, it's just crazy. But what's happening? We have a beautiful campus. And
we do.
And because, it was under the Dearborn Public Schools, and a decision had to be made to continue daycare on this campus.
Right.
And so that was closed a couple of years ago, actually.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago. And it was closed by the K-12, P-12 district because they ran it. I'm not quite there, but probably within the next week or two, we should be able to announce a new tenant over there, and I won't be able to say who it is yet, but it will be a daycare center again. Mm-hmm. So we're working into that contract that it'll be a laboratory for our students that are working in the or taking classes in the early college early childhood area. So it'll be a laboratory for them to get experience. So I'm very excited about that. It's not quite done yet. Right. And but I just got a briefing out yesterday.
That seemed like it came pretty quickly at decision, so that's why we've had nothing in there immediately.
Yeah, you know, we looked at a lot of different options, obviously, but it still seems like the best option is it's built for little people, if you will. It has bathrooms for kids. It has all sorts of things that are built, especially
smaller
for,
size.
Yeah,
facilities,
you know, let alone the playground that's walled outside of it, and so on. So, it looks like the board will have to approve this, but it looks like it'll go back to that use with a local, very very reputable person that's doing this kind of
That makes sense.
Business.
It'd be a shame. It is an attractive building. Of course, it was designed for that specific purpose.
Yeah,
but
so
you know,
should be good things happening there very soon.
Well, along with online learning, we have to bring up the fact, and I know it seems like a commercial, but it's not a commercial, folks. If it's for a nonprofit institution, just so you know, we're a non-commercial station here. But our tuition, is it? Are we the least expensive? Let's say 2-year school in Michigan, or pretty close to
it? We are the least expensive in-district tuition of the 28 in-district community colleges. So it's at $93 per credit hour, which is very, very great value. And then, of course, now there's three basic different tuitions. One is in-district, so if you live in Dearborn or a little bit of Dearborn Heights, but in our district, then it's $93 a credit hour. Mm-hmm. If you live outside of the district, then it goes up to about $156 a credit hour, and about 65% of our students are out of district. So we are a regional college, have been for years and years and years. So we have a lot of students from downriver, a lot of students from Detroit, a lot of students from west of us and north of us, and that drive past other colleges, in fact, to get to us because of the quality, I think, that they find here and the affordability.
And the wide variety of programs.
Well, wide variety of programs.
And certificates.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A lot of stackable certificates. So you say, well, I don't know if I have got 2 years. Well, you know, you can take as little as 6 weeks, get a certificate. One of those certificates is relatively new, but in the last year and a half is industrial sewing. And so, you know, 6 weeks, you can go from making, you know, if you're making minimum wage at $8 an hour or something like that, you can start at $15, $16 an hour. And then, of course, there's other certificates you can get in that area. But like Shinola is a watchmaker course that we know in the area. Mm-hmm. And, of course,
soon to be a hotel operator.
Yes.
There's going to be a Shinola Hotel in Midtown.
So,
unbelievable.
You know, sewing the watch bands, sewing car seats, sewing
the leather goods.
Large area for work for that.
It's a great opportunity. So I've had three different employers say, we'll take every graduate you can get us. So it's great market there. And, you know, it's industrial sewing. It's not sewing doilies or anything like that, you know, so it's, which is great, of course, but you know, these are very high demand jobs.
Getting back to tuition, although it's been out there quite a while, I assume it's still in place that residents of Dearborn who are senior citizens can get free tuition.
That's right.
There's other fees they might have to pay and pay for books, but free tuition still. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, if you're a senior citizen, then, and you're a resident, you're right of the Dearborn district here. So, yeah, you can come here free. So we appreciate very, very much the mill levies that are paid by, I live here in Dearborn, so I pay those as well.
Right.
And it's four mills, and which is really, really, really reasonable. It's not very much money, but it has a great bang for your dollar, especially if you're a resident here and you're, I'm trying to think, is it 65 or 60? We'll say it's 65 or 60.
Let's say 65. Yeah.
If you're that age or older, you can come here for free, which is a great thing. I think you should do it.
AARP will let you join at 50, but that's never been that low.
It's
usually, some places it's 62, but typically it's always 65.
Yeah,
but still, I think that's very useful. And we still have the tuition guarantee,
even though
every now and then we have to incrementally to pay the bills, folks. Yeah. Tuition is the lion's share of what we need to operate this place. If they complete that degree the 2-year degree within 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's
they
right.
They can get a rebate on any extra tuition they had to pay.
That's exactly right.
After the first semester
that
they were
exactly
with us.
That's exactly right. So, since I've been here, we've raised tuition very small increments, but typically we try to kind of stay up with inflation. I don't control that. No, neither do you.
And, yeah, sure.
And so, you know, 1 or 2%. So this last year we raised in-district tuition by $2. So obviously every dollar counts, and our board is very strong about keeping tuition very affordable, and so am I. So you can count on that. But we do want to stay with, you know, the rising costs that are just a part of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, eggs and milk and shoes and cost more because of inflation, so it's kind of built in.
It's sort of about registration, but also just a little bit off topic. It was a story in the last week about, of course, ITT, private university across the whole country, technical programs they had, vocational programs, and they've closed. And that displaced, I think I saw some huge number. I don't know if it was nationally or just in Michigan. 40,000 was the number 40, of students.
40,000 nationally, 10,000 in southeastern Michigan. Wow. Students involved with ITT. They closed the first day of classes, ended up they had to close. We are one of the leaders as far as helping take those students in. And call us, give us a call. We've had well over 200 calls as of a couple of days ago. It's probably much more than that now. I just was over at the Welcome Center and talking to them about this. So we treat those students very, very well. I want them to give us a call. They had a large nursing program. We have the largest nursing program here for RN nurses in the state, in any college or university, and it's the oldest program as well. And it's an excellent program, so we're going to be able to take in some of those nursing students. And I just talked to the associate dean of the program today, and so we're working very actively with those every day.
And of course, our 12-week semester, might say a late start semester, we squeeze 15 weeks into 12 weeks. That just began, I think, yesterday. So actually, with help from the counselors on campus, those students can get a full experience if it's just those basic classes we offer in 12 weeks. And for the other classes, maybe there's things that can be done, you know, that they can try to work out.
So. Class, I think they start next week, but I might be wrong. But they're coming up here.
The 15th.
Maybe it is. 15th.
Yeah. That would be yesterday.
Yeah, okay. Then the eight-week classes are still coming, of course. So.
Well, the second eight-week, of course.
Yeah. Right. So you can get in. So don't panic. Just come in. Give us a call. Talk to us. We can probably help with continuing you on track. And shocking thing is you're going to find more of this happening. So it's really important as a student to engage with a institution that is well regarded and has good accreditation and good financial, bedrock kind of foundation. We do have that. We've had a $26 million turnaround in the last 3 years since coming here, and so we're doing well. We pinch every nickel and try to use it very, very wisely. Mm-hmm. So,
we're talking with HSC president, that's Henry Ford College president, Stan Jensen, today for the first half hour.
Yep. Just had a related question, and that is the facility where ITT was working. Do we have any plans for ourselves to use that facility, or what are the plans for that particular facility?
We don't have any plans to use it ourselves. I don't know what their plans are. Okay. I think it has to go through some court action and so on. You know, it'll be a fairly lengthy. But we don't have any designs on it.
Okay.
Okay, well, a lot of things specifically are happening soon. Let me just look at the dates here. September 20th, on campus, there's always something happening. And in fact, our new website design has a great way, not too many pictures, but enough pictures and individual blocks that it lists the big topics. And you don't have to scroll down too far. And on the side, there's actually now a timeline date, too. So if you're looking for dates like what's happening tomorrow or the day after at HFC, it's right there. So it's a very fast, easy-to-use resource. Or to recommend the ITT people and anybody interested in the college, go to our website, hfcc.edu. Waiting for the big announcement on the new website name too someday, but
it's harder than you might think to change that address. So we are working on that. It's a new website, very well designed, very well laid out, much more logical, built especially for our students.
Yeah.
So go on there; you find lots of information at your fingertips. And some of the dates coming up are you're going to mention those.
Right. Well, on campus here, especially relevant to students that are already here on campus, but the Welcome Back Days. days that's organized by our student activities people. WHFR is going to be part of that. A lot of the other programs and special activities at the college, and a lot of service providers to students on different days. It's going to be actually Monday through Thursday.
Right.
We're going to be part of it on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's from 11 to 2, and it's a great taste of what's going on at the college in addition to the programs, although, as I said, certain academic programs will also have tables to talk about their programs, too, but it's not a full range of that. There's other programs coming up that have to do with that. I wanted to mention that September 22nd, next Thursday, yes, everybody, somebody remember the calendar? John, you don't know what day this is, but yeah, the veterans, there's going to be a veterans resource here on campus in the administration building, ASCC, from 1 o'clock to 3:30. So that's September 22nd, folks, next Thursday. And I assume that's for, well, either veterans already here as students, but any veterans that might want to come by and see what services, in addition to maybe education, that they can be connected with here.
Veteran-friendly designation for our college. We have a lot of veterans that come here. We certainly welcome them. And several veterans actually from ITT are coming here. And we've served them for a long time. My daughter has been in the Marine Corps as a veteran as well. I've been deployed twice, so I certainly have a heart for those that have served our country, and we want them to come here.
Again, we seem to have, as far back as my memory goes, after 49 years, I've probably forgotten something. We seem to have more activities on campus that are not only for the students, in addition to all the great classes and programs, but more of these special involvement experiences in one direction or another than we ever had before, and that's really wonderful, of course. The next one I had on my list here to ask you about was Thursday, October 6th, Discovery Day.
Yeah.
That's from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. Can you explain that briefly?
Yeah, come, and just like it sounds, you're going to discover all the facts and figures and programs about Henry Ford College. So it's a time for parents, time for students, potential students to come and discover what we can offer. We have well over 120 programs, lots of certificates and degrees.
They'll be giving campus tours, I think.
Tours, yeah. And we have excellent facilities. We just have purchased over $7 million worth of new equipment in this past year. It's in place this semester. And in our tech building, we have one of the best culinary arts programs. We have a two-year program as far as an associate's program in culinary arts and a four-year program now, so a bachelor's degree in that. We also, just 2 weeks ago, received notice that we were ranked as in the top 50 of all culinary schools in America, both these are universities as well as community colleges, and we are ranked at number 10. We are the top-ranked culinary arts school in Michigan, and 10th in the whole nation. So you'll find great experience here, and so be sure and find out more about those kind of programs, as well as, of course, liberal arts. We are a great transfer institution. A lot of students come here for the first 2 years of their college and transfer to Michigan or any other college.
Yeah, just a segue. In radio, we go from one topic to the other, but we'll come right back to you. That John is always one of his personal favorites for dining is the 5101 restaurant. Amen. So
and Jay's included in that.
Oh,
very well.
Oh, me too.
We really love the buffets, and as it is next week, the theme for beginning September 19th is Southern Italian.
Yeah.
And in the fall semester for those folks will open this next Tuesday.
Right. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and day and evenings.
Day and evenings, yes.
Or at least evenings on Wednesday.
Evenings on Wednesday, and I believe it's day of.
Well, it's on that list there. We'll give you more information later. But
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the fall 2000, from 11:30 to 1 for lunch. Dinner hours are 6 to 7:45. On Wednesdays and Thursdays.
So come on in. You get to see our students in action. You get to experience the food and the service that they can provide, and, of course, our chefs. And I was just in the kitchen this morning watching them make some bread and some pizza and all sorts of other stuff. It's wonderful, and you have to stop by.
Interesting new component. Of course, the food they serve is always fresh, but very often locally sourced, but now we're locally sourcing some of it right on campus.
That's
so the program has started its own small garden right outside the student center here, and they've got, I can't remember how many bushel baskets of tomatoes they've already harvested, and they've got melons there, both honeydew and cantaloupe, that are over 8 pounds each.
Yes.
I think they use fertilizer. I'm not sure. But there's peppers and so on. They have it, and they just think it's a great component for their students, too. It was started by the faculty, but the students are getting into it so they can actually prepare the food fresh. They can actually choose it and select it out there. You and the college gave a great welcome back reception yesterday. Thank you, in the afternoon, for faculty and staff. Atop the science building...
That's right.
Where there's a green roof the new section of it. And I know Chef Chris was looking at it very closely because he was noticing all the chives that were growing. And he might sneak up there at night and chop a few.
We should just do it in the daylight. But anyhow, great gardens up there. The great garden out here, you can maybe pick out your own tomato and then 40 feet to your table.
Yeah,
and so it can't get much fresher than that.
That's right. I think we ought to have a little vegetable stand there.
There you go.
But actually, we do have a food distribution thing for people that need extra food that we started, and the name of it is
the Hawk's Nest.
Hawk's Nest. I'm going to say Hawk's Corner. Hawk's Nest.
Hawk's Nest. Yep.
And that office. It's for registered enrolled students here at Henry Ford College. But if they need assistance, there are ways that we can provide. Some food to those students. It's not usually the fresh tomatoes, but
no.
I mean from our own garden, but it's other food that cans or donated food, and that's been a great success and component.
It has been
here at the college. So it's amazing the stuff that is provided here at the college. Just one other quick thing coming up, and it's always important every year, the Career Expo.
Oh, yes.
That's on Friday, October the 14th, and that's coming up from 11 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. There'll be a lot of different businesses, local businesses here, talking about the kinds of people they're looking for and talking about the occupations. And, of course, our own placement staff people and counselors will be there to assist, too, with any questions about that. And that's open to the public also.
It is. A lot of employers looking for employees will be right here on our campus. Our students will be interacting with them. And, it's a great time. Obviously, you want to go to school, so most of us, anyhow, you want to get a job.
And it helps you. Yeah, certainly helps you find have a wider range of jobs if you have more education. I think.
Yeah, unless you're independently wealthy, you're going to have to do this. So, this is a great time to find out about those employers, exactly what they're looking for, and we have a lot of our students actually getting hired even before they graduate, and a lot of demand, high demand areas, especially in healthcare and computer science and the computer fields, and getting ready, and of course any of the fields that we offer, great opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And we always give on this show just a brief mention of other things coming up, especially for nonprofit activities in the city. But our own big band is going to be playing at Smoke on the Grill, which will be at Dearborn's Ford Field on the 29th of September. And that is a special benefit for the Dearborn Education Association.
Right.
And that does a lot of great projects for the community and for the schools. It's a separate foundation. I think, is it the Goodfellow folks are actually organizing it?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. You can still get tickets for that.
Yep.
And it's
not too expensive.
Annual, it's an annual tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our folks will be out there. And it's a great partnership with our P-12 education.
Well, to finish up here, I want to throw you some questions from left field.
Sure.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I don't know much about sports, so why use a baseball metaphor? But what are you most busy with as HFC president these days? I remember, again, decades ago, HFC, back in the 60s when I got here, we actually had two presidents. The second one was, I don't know, assistant president or associate or something. Oh. And the main president really only did external things, which means go for money, drive to Lansing several times a week, talk to the legislators. And the other president was the one that handled on-campus meetings with faculty and staff. You probably would like to have help with that. You have to do both, of course.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
You know, some colleges are going back to that model, but you're right. I do both. I do spend a lot of my time building partnerships as far as academic partnerships, but also businesses. And one really exciting thing that has begun to happen, we've had our first two meetings now over the past 6 months, is with my National Advisory Council. This is the President's National Advisory Council. We're very, very privileged to have Henry Ford III is our chair. and is an excellent leader. We have Nick Illich is on our council, along with about 12 other CEOs and leaders that are in this area, right here in town, as well as in this area of southeastern Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great meeting earlier this week. And they are showing terrific interest in our students and what we're doing here at Henry Ford College. I also try to raise money. As you mentioned, we're in the beginning stages of a $20 million fundraising campaign. So mm-hmm. we're very active in that. I spent all morning with the philanthropic interest that is very interested in our college. So that, I think, will result in some excellent gifts. And, of course, I also, every month, I have meetings with small numbers, usually about 15 at a time, with our full-time faculty. Also, another group is our part-time faculty, our adjunct faculty, mm-hmm. and, of course, our staff and our middle-line administrators. And so I get to know people internally. But we have terrific vice presidents here that run a lot of the on-campus kind of things that day-to-day.
And a great foundation office to help you with those connections with the big donors.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have a great team. It's not mm-hmm. any one person. And certainly, we have been able to build a terrific team here. We have terrific faculty and staff and administrators, a great board. And so it really is a team effort. I build a lot of teams here. We've built 32 process improvement teams in the last 3 years. And so those all help solve problems, help us to serve our students better. And one of the key things I teach is the fundamental of team building, and it's the number one rule in team building, and it's a rule derived from football, really, and that is you never, never tackle somebody with the same jersey on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's been gaining popularity, and so a lot more teamwork, and we have great people that serve in our welcome center. You're going to hear next about our athletic department, so I won't steal any of their thunder.
No, we'll get
but,
into that. Yeah.
lots of departments in areas here that and a lot of our faculty and staff are also great volunteers in our community. I talked to one gentleman yesterday, in fact, that is volunteering with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm on the executive board for the Chamber of Commerce here, and we're also joining two other chambers, the one in Detroit and also the one downriver. And so we're also a part of the Arab American Chamber of Commerce, the American Arab Chamber of Commerce. And so why do we do that is so we can provide more conduits for our students to get jobs and to provide internships and those kind of things. So we have great support. Appreciate this radio station a great deal.
Well, we thank you for, with your very busy schedule, we thank you for at least coming by. Love to have you every month, but, you know, we do have other people from the college speaking for you, and you are extremely busy. I know, just want to mention to our folks, since it is radio and there's no TV, you're wearing your Proud to Be HFC buttons, and they've been distributed to faculty for the last couple of weeks, especially yesterday. I had a button that I just... because you like slogans. I was wearing yesterday, don't have it on today, and it has a political connection, which I won't mention, but it basically just said, all in.
Okay.
And that's really the whole team spirit.
It is.
Got to all jump in, do what you can.
That's right.
And help out.
Do your part,
And that's kind of the feeling around here. And, and thank you for allowing so many of us to jump in and help out.
Well, we have about almost 1,200 employees, so a lot of them very dedicated to our students and dedicated to helping them discover a bright future for them. There are great things ahead here for Henry Ford College and for our students.
Thank you very much, President Stan Jensen, Henry Ford College. Again, for more information, the best place to start really is to go to the website, hfcc.edu. But, of course, just come on by the college anytime. If you're totally new here, you can go to the Welcome Center, which is a little building just north of our north lot, but it's right close to 5101 Evergreen Entrance Way. Just go on the north drive, as they say. And there's a lot of counselors and admissions people, financial aid people over there that can help get you started learning more. Keep watching the newspapers for special events, as well as, of course, as I said, on the website. I'm just wondering, too, do we have a way people can sign up for HFCC News? I mean, just anybody on the outside, they can give their email address and just get regular notices?
Right, yeah, they should be able to
sign up for that. I'm sure it's quite common.
And Yeah, and one of the publications that is electronic as well is hard copy is called Career Focus, and our newest one is just out. And
I think they went to all the residences in Dearborn. I got
it does.
One at home.
It goes to about 117,000 homes, so it's Dearborn as well as south of here, a lot of communities, and then it's about 700,000 people overall get it electronically as well as hard copy. So
well, that's a great information resource, and of course, it's all about careers, and I think finding the one that you can excel in, the one that you enjoy the most too. You need a lot of choices, and we certainly give them that. Again, thank you so much for coming in today. We're going to move on to our athletic director, Rochelle Taylor, in the next segment. And here's some comments from Jack Lessenberry. Thanks to Michigan Public Radio. And we'll be right back with Rochelle Taylor. Thank you, President Jensen.
I'm Jack Lessenberry. I'm a little overweight. Not grossly fat, but I could certainly lose a few pounds. I could say this is because I was bullied as a child, because I heroically work too hard and don't have time to eat properly, or because of my existential angst. Actually, existential angst sounds like a good all-purpose excuse for anything, especially given the current climate, political and otherwise. But the fact is that I'm overweight because I eat too much and don't exercise enough. It is my fault. We aren't conditioned these days to take responsibility or admit when something is our fault. Yesterday, we were treated to the repellent spectacle of four of the crooked Detroit school principals groveling before a federal judge and making excuses for why they took kickbacks and conspired to steal from impoverished children. They all told U.S. District Judge Victoria Roberts that they didn't belong in jail. Perhaps the most contemptible of these was one Ronald Alexander, who took $23,000 in bribes and who told the court, "Ronald Alexander is a hero, whether anyone believes it or not." The defendants, all of whom had made six-figure salaries, had the amazing temerity to whine to the judge about their personal financial troubles and ask not to be sentenced to jail. The judge did send them all to prison, but none for more than a year. I'm sorry they didn't all get at least 20 years. These are people who stole money from a system that can't even supply toilet paper and textbooks to kids who sometimes don't even have adequate winter coats. What disturbs me most about all this is that some of these characters really seem to think their actions were justifiable. This scandal sent so many bad messages to so many different audiences in so many different ways, it would be exhausting to list them all. What the whining principals apparently didn't get, however, is that the American public is, by and large, of a forgiving nature. But like those old Irish Catholic priests in those 1930s movies, we just want our sinners to say they're sorry, ask for our forgiveness, and then we will mostly grant them absolution. But for some baffling reason, those of us who screw up mostly find that nearly impossible. Essentially, we've needed a metaphorical truck with a trailer hitch to drag out of Hillary Clinton something resembling an admission that she violated both government rules and common sense in the way she handled her emails while Secretary of State. Even when she made a half-hearted apology, it was coupled with the claim that, well, Colin Powell did it too, an excuse unworthy of a six-year-old. These people could learn something from the late Ted Kennedy, who spent nearly half a century as a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. Back in 1994, his years of boozing and womanizing had finally caught up to him, and he seemed in real danger of losing to a bright young challenger named Mitt Romney. Kennedy went on statewide TV, confessed his failings, and promised to do better. He won easily and stayed in the Senate for the rest of his life. There's a lot today's politicians could learn from his example, but sadly, they mostly won't.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.
And this is the new WHFR Journal. Why do we say new? Because it's different every week. So you have to listen every week, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m., or go to our website, whfr.fm. On the homepage, click on the big button in the middle, talk shows, and then choose WHFR Journal. The WHFR Forum, the Tuesday Forum, is not us. That's another talk show of different topics that we do. But click on the WHFR Journal button and then select by date, like today is 9/16/16. So we have another special guest with us live in the studio. It's easy, in a way, for them to come on to the air because they're right here on this campus. But, of course, they have to make their schedule available for us, and we're very happy to have Rochelle Taylor with us. John, do the introduction and lead off the questions.
Well, welcome, Rochelle. It is great to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And Rochelle is our athletic director at Henry Ford College. And give us a little background, Rochelle, and what brought you to Henry Ford College as the athletic director.
Well, I'm actually going into my sixth year, which I can't even believe it. It seems like I just walked on campus. But I had an opportunity to move back to the Detroit area in late 2010, early 2011. I saw that Henry Ford was seeking an athletic director, and when I did some research, I thought it was a great opportunity to be able to come in and help lead the Hawks. And I knew what the school was trying to accomplish, and I thought I might be able to help them do that. So it's been a great 6 years. I'm looking forward to, you know, continuing to work with them.
And you have this weekend and Monday, you have events, sporting events occurring. What events have we got going this weekend and also Tuesday?
Well, we're in a fall sport mode, and our golf team is actually competing today, even as we speak. And so our golf season started a couple of weeks ago, and our women's volleyball team, which is new and old to Henry Ford. We had a strong volleyball program for years. We had to discontinue that program about 3 years ago. So it's the revitalized, renewed women's volleyball team, and they just started their conference season on this week on Tuesday, and they'll be playing in a tournament in Ancilla, at Ancilla College in Indiana this weekend.
Ah, Ancilla College. And then you have the Henry Ford Invitational.
Our golfers are golfing today, and everybody is getting geared up to come. All of the conference schools will be here in Dearborn at Dearborn Country Club on Monday for a 10 a.m. tee off shotgun start. So we're happy to host one tournament every year. Dearborn Country Club has been kind enough to let us use their facility, so it's one of the better tournaments in the conference because that's just a gorgeous course. I'm sure you know that.
It is a gorgeous course. And how many other schools will be participating?
So there'll be a total of 8 schools competing in the tournament.
Oh, very good. Okay. And your background is that you grew up in Detroit, correct?
I grew up in Detroit. I started running with a track club when I was 9 years old, and I fell in love with the sport of track and field. And luckily, I had a little talent to go along with that, you know, passion. I was able to compete at the high school level. I was All-American and academic All-American at Immaculata High School. I received a full athletic scholarship, and I went to University of Texas at El Paso. Mm-hmm. I ran there for 4 years. We were able to win a national championship my junior year. I was 3-time All-American at UTEP. So I had a really, really good track career. I loved the sport. And then I came back to Detroit and worked on a master's in sports administration at Wayne State University. Mm-hmm. So I got my master's degree there, and as I was working, I was able to get some practical hands-on experience by being the athletic director at St. Mary of Retford High School in the Catholic League. Oh. So it was great experience to be training to be an athletic administrator and then working at that level. And I also coached track and cross-country there. I then was able to go to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor to complete an internship there. Yeah. I did a 6-month internship, and luckily they hired me, so I was there about a year and a half. And so it's nothing better than starting off in intercollegiate athletics with the Michigan Wolverines. That was an awesome experience. Yeah. From there, I was able to go to North Carolina A&T State University, which is in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hmm. It was a Division I historically black college, and I was assistant athletic director there. I had to wear a lot of hats because it was a very small program. So going from University of Michigan, where it's a huge program with lots of money, to a program with limited resources was actually great for me because it required me to learn a lot about the sport and do a lot of different things that I kind of do here as well. From A&T, I went to the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association. I ended up staying there for 14 years, working in their youth programs as well as professional development area. And then I went and ran a 501c3 foundation for the NCAA, so they did all their youth sports programming under the arm of a separate foundation. So I was president of that foundation for 3 years, maybe four. Then I started doing some consulting work, and NCAA was a client, so it was very good work. And that also took me to work with ministers of sport in Algeria and Tanzania and Zanzibar. And then I ended up circling back to Detroit and having a chance to come here to Henry Ford.
It sounds like you're so well prepared for this type of environment.
I think my background, I think everything that I've been able to have had to do has really served me well, and it's allowed me. This is the first time that I've been able, you know, I'm the athletic director, and I realize all the experiences I've had and some of the opportunities I've had, I've been able to help put into this program. And I try to do what I think our student athletes, I try to put in programs that will help our student athletes, because I can think back when I was in college and some of the things that were in place to help me succeed, not just as an athlete, but as a student. Right. So those were some of the things I focused on first, like really making sure that we had strong support systems for our student athletes so that they don't, that they can really focus on being a student and an athlete.
Well, that's a great segue also, because describe to us the CHAMPS program.
So one of the things that I did develop was a program, we call it the CHAMPS program. It stands for Challenging Athletes Mindset for Personal Success. Mm-hmm. And it's actually an opportunity to meet with all my student athletes once a week. We meet every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And we bring in a variety of speakers. They could be from campus, from the community. We may look at various videos. And we're trying to bring introduce topics that will help our students either succeed better as students, so it might be some academic study skills sessions, or as athletes, so information about sports nutrition or preventing injuries or making sure they understand how well they need to have their bodies conditioned. And some of it is just as to help them be better citizens. We do community service projects during that time sometimes, and to just be well-rounded people. So we might talk about financial resources, understanding why it's important to be able to manage money, or why it's important to, you know, any number of topics. So it's just an opportunity for our students to come together and hear from some leaders on campus and off campus that can give them some information that we think will help them succeed.
That sounds like a terrific program. I mean, the kids, the life skills that the kids get from that.
And they actually like it. We have a little fun in there, too. We show a lot of videos. Sometimes we make our own videos, and we always end with hot topics. So students can come up and lead a hot topic, and anything that, as long as it doesn't relate to sports. So the hot topic might be, what's the better phone, Apple or Galaxy, you know, and they'll debate that forever.
Yeah, right. Okay.
If I can ask, sure. Rochelle, what were the opportunities for scholarship assistance here and transfer to sports programs at four-year schools? Are they as good as some schools have in the past? I mean, is there a disadvantage to starting with a sports program at a community college, do you think?
Well, there's not a disadvantage.
For someone interested in sports.
Right, course. Right. Well, you have to realize that there's strong competition at so many levels, and a lot of times high school students think they're all going to a Division I university, a Big Ten ACC type school, but there are strong programs at Division II schools, Division III schools, NCAA, as well as the community college level. The best example I can give is that we just had our pitcher on our team who was here for 2 years, and he just finished in June. He was drafted in the fifth round, went to Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. So obviously his stock here at the community college did not go down at all.
It didn't hurt him at all.
Still got looks. There were articles from the NJCAA, which is our governing body, the National Junior College Athletic Association, that detailed the number, and I don't have them off the top of my head, of the number of NJCAA athletes that were in this past Olympic Games that are in the pros now. So starting at a community college is just a different start. It's not a worse start. It's not a better start. It's just a different start for students.
I would think, although certainly many schools have a lot of extra counseling and assistance to the people who are on their sports teams, but certainly here we give that too, and it would seem to me to be a little bit more direct or immediate because we don't have thousands.
You know? Right. I think the nature that it's a smaller program with a smaller campus, I'm able to know my student athletes and have my kind of eyes and ears on them, and mm-hmm. so we can make sure they're getting those resources. Compare that to a North Carolina State, or Duke. You know, obviously their top athletes and top programs, football and basketball, would receive top resources. But, you know, we're able to provide more of an intimate hands-on with our students.
And you mentioned several of the sports that we support, that the activities that we have going right now. Can you just give us a brief list? Obviously, there's basketball for men and women.
There's basketball for men this year.
So oh, okay.
we don't have
Hawkettes anymore.
Our Lady Hawks are taking a little hiatus. We brought our women's volleyball team on this year, and okay. So we are kind of allowing that team to come on strong.
Sure.
We're
uh-huh.
really working with them. And then okay. we have golf, which is co-ed, although we only have had male golfers for the last few years. Note, any female golfers out there, you're welcome to join our golf team. We're looking for female golfers.
Very good.
And then we have baseball and softball that are intercollegiate sports. We started a wrestling club 3 years ago. They do compete against other club teams across the city, the state, and actually that club has gone to their national championship the past mm-hmm. 3 years. We came back with an All-American wrestler last year. So yeah. that club is doing very well, and we're actually going to elevate them to a varsity sport in the fall.
It seems like you're always, there's so many different sports that each school has some and others don't have that one. And is that a challenge for you as athletic director, always looking into the possibilities of starting another major, moving from the Lady Hawks? They really were. They were called the Hawkettes about a decade ago.
Oh, were they?
So
okay.
no disrespect there.
No, none at all.
I think Lady Hawks, although, you know, ladies, that maybe that's too formal. Anyway, until we get a better name, anyway. And moving into volleyball, that's so you have to go with the interest of the students, certainly, and
right.
but also the program budget. You know.
The interest of the students, the resources that are available, and then we also have to look at, I had a couple of students in my office at the first day of classes, I think, asking, you know, when are we going to be able to get a football team on campus? Well, we also have to look, there's no community colleges in the state with football programs.
Oh, well.
We have to look at where would our competition be. Yeah. So we have to do, you know, what's smart, what's practical, what's resourceful, for the campus.
Yeah. And I was making a joke at the beginning, where's our swim team, you know?
Right.
No, we don't have a swimming pool, folks.
Right. No swimming pool, no swim team.
It was actually, I go back 4 decades, and in the 60s when the campus was open, the original athletic building, phys ed building as it was called then, actually had in the plans a nice little addition to add on a swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
Never happened. They put in a tennis court. So we're not doing anything with tennis, though. Right now.
Yeah, well, we lost our tennis courts.
Because we lost the tennis courts to a parking lot.
Right. And so we actually looked at for intramural, so again, perhaps having students being able to play other students here on mm-hmm. campus.
Sure.
We had some courts made available to us from the city, so, you know, it may be possible that we bring an intramural tennis program mm-hmm. in. We're trying to soccer right now. We brought a couple of soccer nets, and so we have some students are able to play competitively soccer.
Okay.
Well, Rochelle, you also have students, your student athletes that are giving back to the community as far as community service for kids go. Why don't you describe that a little bit?
So that was something I thought was important to me. I think as athletes, we all benefit from volunteer coaches. I mean, that's the one area where, you know, mom and dad are driving you around. You have coaches that are not being paid, you know, doing the youth sports. So, you know, it's really important, I think, to always give back. So since I've been here, we have had, we make that a part of our program. And last year, we really worked a lot with the Hawks Nest. I know Dr. Jensen just talked about that. But because mm-hmm. we had this new food pantry right here on campus,
yes.
our students actually did the very first drive. We were able to help get the nest stocked for its initial opening. We also had students over there unpacking boxes, putting shelving together, doing things to get that nest up and going. And then we've done a couple of drives throughout the year to help keep that nest stocked.
Well, where are those donations going from the food pantry?
Straight here to the to our student food pantry.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, where do they go from the when this
from the student?
Right.
Well, any students on campus are able to come and shop in the Nest. And we unfortunately we have a number of students that just need assistance with the high cost of just living expenses, and so we're able to supplement that by them being able to go and get some food out of the food pantry.
I gotcha. Okay, well, Rochelle, this was fantastic that you were here with us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I hope I have a chance to come back and talk about some of the successes of the Hawks.
As you might know, you've been talking to John over the last couple of weeks at different times. We hope to cover HSC sports a little more regularly here.
We would love that.
One way or the other. John's thinking of a talk show. A few decades back, we had so many volunteers that wanted to help that we covered like all the home basketball games for play-by-play.
Wouldn't that be wonderful for our listeners?
But certainly, you know, upcoming dates of the games and that, we want to be announcing those so that people can come and enjoy those. Probably cost less than a ticket to one of the major teams in Detroit, so and it helps raise money for our sports teams, too. Mm-hmm. So all the things that are happening, they're going to try to get more involved with that. But so keep us informed. Email John's number,
absolutely,
day or night, of course.
Go Hawks. We do have a game this Tuesday, a volleyball game home, that our own Bill is going to be announcing. So,
okay.
Bill Wright.
If you go to the event, he's announcing off air.
But yes. At the game. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. What time is that?
That'll be at 7:00 Tuesday night.
7:00 Tuesday night in our athletic building, right here on the main campus of Henry Ford College.
We'll be playing going against Oakland Community College.
Right. Yeah.
Great. Well, again, thank you, Rochelle Taylor, Athletic Director, HFC, for coming by today. We're just going to finish up the journal now with just a few more stories. I'm going to grab some from a distance here and gave some to John before. Let me do that. I want to do that. Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is the only local news show on the radio where you hear the pages turning. Yes, and here we go. Coming up, just some events. Coming up tomorrow, Saturday, September 17th, the first annual Victory Gym Hot Rods and Hogs. It's a special fundraising activity downriver at Woodhaven Civic Center Park. $15 for hot rods and $10 for hogs. $5 eat all day. Now, so a lot of cars and bikes, and it is going, this organization, Victory Gym, is actually a nonprofit, and that's because they give either discounted or free services to our veterans and first responders. And so this helps them raise some more money, too. So the best in show for the cars or bikes will win prizes. And there's going to be a DJ spinning all day. And so this is at the Woodhaven Civic Center Park, Hall Road in Woodhaven, from 1 to 10 tomorrow. And all benefits help our veterans and first responders. Also, as was featured on the Tuesday forum show here, this last Tuesday from 1 to 2 o'clock, and you can listen to on our website, of course, for the full podcast, but there's actually a church, a Wesleyan ministry that calls itself 37 North, and they've started a program which is jazz at 37 North, and coming up, a special friend of ours, R.J. Spangler, and with his Planet DinoNet, which is a jazz group. He has many different groups, but it's a jazz group, and he's going to be playing a mixture of swing, blues, space age jazz, and classic American songs, and this is going to be September 18th, that's Sunday at 4 p.m., and where do you say it is? Okay, hang on. Ah, it's Reek Road, 14250 Reek Road, Southgate, Michigan. They have a website, 37northchurch.com, okay? But it is a nonprofit, and the event's free. I mean, this is fantastic, you know. So go down and enjoy R.J. Spangler Trio. If you love the jazz that he does, he's going to be there with T-Bone Paxton. This is the Sunday, the 18th, 4 p.m., 37northchurch.com for information there. Okay? And, okay, let me see what else I have here. All right. We just got another couple minutes, and John is back from, we always like to walk our guest out, you know, so they don't trip over our cords or whatever, but It was great to have both President Stan Jensen and Rochelle Taylor, our athletic director, here today to give you that background, because stuff is always happening here, and you might think, well, they never talk about the college, so nothing's happening. Oh, my goodness. Here's something political, first I should say that next week we're going to have one of our political candidate interviews. It's actually going to be at 1:30, halfway through the hour, but the first half hour is going to be with one of our great community activists and volunteers, Regan Ford. Mm-hmm. And I will ask him, of course, the big question, is he related to the Ford family at all? No, I mean, common name. I don't believe he is, but we'll find out. But no, he has written many editorials over the last several years about issues in Dearborn. He's a thoughtful, intelligent guy. John and I met him for the first time at Dearborn Homecoming because he was standing there for most of our live broadcast from Ford Field. He didn't realize we had this kind of show, and then he was even more surprised when he learned that we featured his editorials frequently.
Yes. And he also was doing a running commentary to us as we were going along.
Right, yeah. Well, and so he's going to be here, and we're going to find out his background, obviously, especially because a couple of weeks ago, his last editorial comment, his opinion piece in the Press and Guide, talked about how to be a good citizen, how to volunteer for different things that are going on in the community, how you can help. You don't have to do everything, but doing something is really what counts. So that kind of citizen activism, he's won't have a political bent, but we maybe have some comments about what's happening in the city of Dearborn. He's also, he can speak about the Dearborn Rotary, because he's now their president. Yes, he is. And so that's the first half hour, Regan Ford, next Friday, September 23rd, here on the Journal. And in the second half, we have a political candidate for 12th District U.S. Congress Representative. And it's a Libertarian Party candidate. What? Yep. Tom Bagwell, who's from Wyandotte, is running for the seat as a Libertarian. And you say, well, who's in that position now? Debbie Dingell. Okay. Now, on this show, we only have limited time, and you should already know what Debbie Dingell stands for, and a lot of people of you know and love her and her husband because of the votes they've gotten over the years for the same job. And so we're going to focus on the other people, just so you have a full range of choices. So no disrespect to Debbie Dingell or any of the incumbents, but you should already know a lot about them. What do you know about these other people? If they really catch your attention and you like them a lot, you ought to vote for them, I think, as your top choice. So Tom Bagwell will be speaking about his race for 12th District Representative to U.S. Congress next Friday. And a week after next Friday, we have scheduled Jeff Jones, who is the Republican running for 12th District Congress Representative. It's a very exciting time here at the Journal. It always is an exciting time. We'll give you updates on a few of the activities of League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, too. Also have a new flyer from Susan DiBaggio, who's running for 19th District Judge. Remember that we have the interview with Susan DiBaggio on our podcast and her comments about why she's running for judge. And you have to go to WHFR.fm, click on talk shows, and go back under WHFR Journal, go back to the date she was on, which was 6/29. Her competition for that office, Gene Hunt, was May 27th, and it's all listed there, and you can click and listen anytime, so you can find a full 30-minute interview. No sound bites here. Well, thank you very much, John, for coming in and helping host our two guests today. And we're looking forward to all the sports events that might be possible with your leadership.
And we will also get the results of those games as we get them to report.
Of course. All righty.
Have you?
Yes. Oh, well, go ahead with the Top Dog Report, one of John's
very
favorite
Well, our places. Top Dog Jazz Friday is tonight at 13342 Michigan Ave in Dearborn, one block east of Schaefer. The regular Rich Michaels Trio will be there, and the special guest tonight is Tommy Good, who is a vocalist. Come one and come all, no cover charge, and enjoy the great jazz.
Thank you very much, John. So, everybody, keep up on politics. Keep listening to WHFR Journal, of course, but especially stay tuned in for